Scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Law of the Prophets. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teacheth others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in worship. Thank you for this family, this faith family that we belong to. And thank you for your word and for us being able to listen to your word and invite you to speak into our lives, into our hearts. I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your message today. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we all know what peer pressure is, right? The feeling that you must do the same things as other people of your age and social group in order to be liked or respected by them. It's the pressure that you feel to behave in a certain way because your friends or people in your group expect it of you. So a reporter asked the 104-year-old woman, "What do you think is the best thing about being 104? And she replied quite simply, "No peer pressure." So because of peer pressure, there are people around us that can inspire us to do the right thing, or they can cause us to quit, to give up. And so when it comes to the Pharisees in the Bible, I guess you could say that they were peerless. Nobody was going to beat them in the righteousness department. When it came to right living, they were in a league of their own. And Jesus knew that these Jewish leaders were passionate about the law of God. He knew that they were supportive of synagogues and schools, that they paid close attention to all the purity rules and regulations, that they focused on the resurrection with a powerful hunger for heavenly rewards. And so it's safe to say that the Pharisees were considered the spiritual superstars of their day, and they exerted an enormous amount of peer pressure on the people around them. And so in verse 20 of our gospel reading for today, Jesus says, "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. Jesus says, unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about the kingdom of God and entering that kingdom. In other words, our righteousness as to exceed that of the Pharisees. Not just match it, but surpass it. So how are we supposed to respond to that? So psychologists will tell you that peer pressure is a powerful force in our lives. And peer pressure can certainly help you, but it can also hurt you. It can help you because it can actually inspire you to do the right thing. In school, you might sit next to a good student in class, and her study habits can rub off on you. Or maybe you watch your neighbors install solar panels on the roof, and you might be motivated to do the same thing to help the environment. And when you compare to people who are doing a little better than you, it can be motivating. But peer pressure can also hurt you. What can happen is you can be exposed to your very best peers, like the Pharisees in the case of religious life, and you can find yourself becoming discouraged about yourself. Their peer pressure might even cause you to quit. Peer pressure can turn negative when you compare to people who are unattainably better than you. If you decide to train for a 5-kilometer race with an Olympic distance runner, for example, you're not going to be inspired. You're going to be really intimidated, and you're probably going to drop out at some point. And this is exactly the effect the Pharisees had on the people around them. They made others feel inferior by their super religiosity. So remember what the Apostle Paul said about his own accomplishments. As a Pharisee, he was a Pharisee. He said, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. So Paul was a top-performing Pharisee. He was better than most of the people around him. And you can understand why his peers would feel inferior and want to quit. But here's the thing. Jesus is not interested in making you give up when he says, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees might be better than anyone else in terms of following religious rules and regulations. Jesus, however, didn't care much about all the little rules and regulations, because he has a new approach to righteousness. And it's not based on rigorously keeping every single Old Testament rule and regulation. Instead, he says, I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to be the light of the world. What I want you to do is to fulfill the law in new ways as I do. And so when you're a Christ follower, you don't have to feel any peer pressure from people like the Pharisees or the super religious people. Our righteousness comes about in a whole new way. It's not about who the top performers are, okay? Even the Apostle Paul, the spiritual superstar who had tremendous confidence in himself, came to see that his achievements as a Pharisee didn't mean much at all. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what? Because of what Christ has done. So what has Christ done? He has accomplished righteousness for our sake on the cross. You see, you don't have the ability, neither I, to achieve righteousness by yourself. But you can possess the righteousness of Christ when you believe in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Not in religiously following and obeying every minute rule and regulation, like the Pharisees believed was necessary for righteousness, but through the redemption of our Lord Jesus. Because on the cross, Jesus exchanged our sin for His perfect righteousness so that we can one day stand before God and He will not see our sin, but the holy righteousness of the Lord Jesus. We're accepted as righteous and treated as righteous by God on account of what the Lord has done, Jesus. He was made sin, we are made righteousness. So what do righteous people look like? They look like salt. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Why did He say that? Why do righteous people look like salt? So in the ancient world, salt was a very valuable commodity. They used it for sacrifice. They used it for purification. Wages were sometimes paid in salt. It was used as a unit of exchange. It was used as a disinfectant. It was used to preserve food. And of course, it was used to season food, to make it less bland. And so what Jesus is saying is that we have a role to play in the world, and we need to remain salty by staying true to our mission as God's people. We need to avoid contamination. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So Jesus says, you are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you don't do it, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Then you've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. And so here's something I want you to note. Jesus doesn't say, try to be the salt of the earth. Doesn't say, well, it might be good for you to catch some classes at Salt and Light University to learn how to be salt. Doesn't say, go to the pastor and elders and have them lay hands on you and implore God to grant you saltiness. Doesn't say take 30 minutes every morning to meditate and try to reach your inner saltiness. No, He simply says you are the salt of the earth. That's what and who you are. So don't forget it. His statement is not a command, but a description of who you are in Him. And so maybe you're thinking, well, but I don't know if I'm salty enough then. So listen, salt is salt. It's not about making salt better salt. Salt is salt. And the value of salt is in its application to other things. Again, Jesus did not say you should become salt. He says, if you're my disciple, you are salt. You already are salt. I mean, salt has a good effect on the food we eat. We've all had soup that was kind of bland. And for soup or food to get that tasty effect, you have to mix the sodium chloride into the food. It'll be ridiculous to think that just having a box of kosher salt next to the stove will make a difference if you never sprinkle it into the soup. What would you think if you asked the cook, did you add any salt to the soup? And he or she says, no, but I have a box of it close by. Isn't that enough? So Jesus calls us salt because we exist for others. To have salt but not use it, to have a shaker of salt sitting next to the stove but never to put any into the pot is foolish. And so what do righteous people look like? Jesus says, as my disciples, you exist for mixing it up with the world. You should do your savory gospel task of making this world or this community or this church or your family a better place. Pour yourself out into this earth and bring out life's complex and beautiful flavors in the name of Jesus. Show my love in practical ways to those around you. Be the salt of the earth. What do righteous people look like? They look like light. Lighthouses, spotlights, flashlights, lamps, candles in the darkness. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And again, being light does not involve sitting through a college class. It's not about reading literature or the subject or meditating about light. Jesus' statement is a description, not a command. He says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And like salt, light does not exist for its own benefit. It exists for the benefit of everything it illuminates. Light provides warmth and energy to the world around it. Light encourages life and growth. And that's what we do when we act as the light of the world, when we reflect the light of Christ to others. So Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So we are made right with God through Jesus Christ. And now we reflect His light to each other and to the world around us. Jesus says, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. This is community church. Shine. Shine as a Christian community so that others will see what a life of faith and hope and love looks like. In a world of self-righteousness, we can be an example of Christ's righteousness, which means we have a right relationship with God and with our neighbor. I don't have to convince you that we are living in difficult and challenging times. There's much going on in the world. There's much going on in our own country. There's so much darkness, all around us. There's so much loneliness and isolation. There's so much distrust and disagreement and strife. We've been made right with God through Christ. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And righteous Christians can truly be a light to the world. You can be a beacon of peace and reconciliation in a world that is full of conflict. You can be an example of tolerance with people who disagree with your views. You can show that you are open to learn from other cultures. You can be hospitable to those who are different. You can share words of encouragement with those who are sad or experience difficulty. And when you let your good deeds shine in a world that is dark, says Jesus, they will praise your heavenly Father. So the Pharisees may have been spiritual superstars in their day, but their righteousness was rooted in rules and regulations. And Jesus respected their passion for the law, make no mistake, but he criticized their failure to put it into action. He said, practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. And listen, Pharisees were no doubt good people. They were not necessarily cruel or heartless or unpleasant. But when all was said and done, they were trying to be good for the wrong reasons. And Jesus simply could not lift up the Pharisees as the norm for righteousness. As a matter of fact, he said to them, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. And so the Pharisees of the Bible cannot be our models for righteousness because they neglected the justice, mercy, and faith that are part of a right relationship with God and neighbor. And those people today who may resemble the Pharisees of the Bible, people in the church today who make other Christians feel unworthy because they have an excessive focus on religious rules and regulations, and you've met some of those people, they are also not our role models. We have only one role model for righteousness, and that is Jesus Christ, the one who invites us to be salt and light, because he offers us the very best peer pressure, the call to follow him, the challenge of advancing his mission in the world. As salt, we can talk with openness and honesty about who we are as Christians, what our values are. As light, we can bring warmth and energy to a world around us. So maybe you might say, well, if the Pharisees were the superstars of peer pressure, and that's a bad thing, what about Jesus? He was even without sin. And you say, he's our role model for righteousness? Yes. Because the difference between the Pharisees and their righteousness and the righteousness of Jesus is that the Pharisees believed they had to work for their righteousness, while the righteousness of Jesus is simply a free gift. You cannot work for it. You just accept the gift in humility and with much gratitude. And that's why Paul said this in Philippians 3. Now I'm right with God, not because I followed the law, but because I believed in Christ. God uses my faith to make me right with him. There's no peer pressure. You don't have to worry about whether you're righteous enough or good enough. Worrying is what the Pharisees did all the time. We're righteous enough and then some. Because our righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus himself. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you that it's not up to us. We can never be good enough. We can never follow the law completely. We sin too many times. We make too many mistakes. We've tried to be good by ourselves. We can't do it. And so thank you for your son Jesus, who became sin on our behalf, who achieved our righteousness by dying for us on the cross. And so we simply believe in your son Jesus and receive that gift with humility and gratitude, and we are made right with you. And that's the only righteousness we need. And so because of that, because we're made right with you, we pray that we will be the people you called us to be, that we will be the salt of the earth, and we will make our light shine in all places where there is darkness. We pray that your Spirit will enable us and empower us and encourage us to be salt and light. In the name of Jesus, amen.